8 p.m. This is Radio Ghana.
Live from the capital, Accra, and from our national studios here, we say welcome to Behind the News, our news and current affairs program, which examines issues from the perspectives of newsmakers and the experts. I am Kingsley Obinchere. For tonight, government takes on minority in parliament for claims that it is piling up on sustainable debt. Electoral Commission counters press statement by Dankwa Institute on the date for the biometric registration. What should our newspaper front pages look like? And also, what does it take to have ECG service connection? All these ones for you this evening. And as usual, we encourage you to share all your comments and concerns with us. You can send them to the text line 026-441-8767. 026-441-8767. That's Behind the News. And to our first story. Government has rubbished claims by the minority in parliament that it is piling up debt which could be unsustainable. Deputy Minister of Finance, Fifi Kweti, believes the minority keeps going back and forth on the issue of the country's debt because the loans being used to improve the country's infrastructure could consign the MPP to perpetual opposition after next year's elections. Former Deputy Minister of Finance and MP for Doma West, Kwekwajima Menu, today raised questions on the floor of the House regarding what he believes is the constant borrowing by government. In his estimation, government has so far contracted about $8.9 billion loans within just 2.5 years in office. He said the NDC had borrowed more than the debt accumulated over the entire 8-year period of former President Kufuor. We'll be speaking to Deputy Finance Minister Fifi Kweti later, but let's speak to Kweku Ajimamenu to state the exact position of the minority on the country's debt. He's joined us on the line. Thank you so much, sir, for your time this evening.
Thank you, my brother.
Did you say that Parliament has so far approved almost $9 billion for the current government in a space of 2.5 years?
That is the situation. As at the end of March, so it is not 2.5 years, it is even less, 2 years, 3 months.
2 years.
And if we add on what we are taking this week, it will not be $8.9 billion. It will be close to about $12 billion.
Yeah, but we have been told that some of these loans are going into infrastructure and all. Are you looking at what they are going into, even as you bring up the debts being accumulated?
Since independence, no government has borrowed loans to use it to go and eat. Excuse me to use these harsh phrases, to go and eat kose or cocoa or anything. All loans that are contracted are actually put into good use. Right? During Kwame Nkrumah's time, we have something we call development without growth. That is where we're putting monies that we had into very serious consumption projects that wouldn't bring growth immediately. So we call it development without growth syndrome. Okay, all governments borrow money and put into certain areas. President Kufuor borrowed money, we put into energy, we put into buoy, we put into roads infrastructure. Look at Accra and the type of projects we had. The Aburi Road, the Nsawan Road, those that were completed, and the uncompleted projects that we had on our hands. Okay, we put loans into good use. But, you just don't borrow without limit, without limitation to it.
Yeah. Mr. Ajimamenu, you've raised issues about some of the projects we find littered around, and the counter-argument may be that some of these projects also were left uncompleted, and naturally, there will be need for some loans to complete them. How do you respond to that one?
But the loans that we are contracting are tied to projects and programs. Not a single one of them, out of the $8.9 billion, is going to complete any uncompleted project that Kufuor started.
So can you tell us some of the areas they will be going into because you were those approving it?
So the STX facility is one, right?
Yeah.
We have picked a lot of loans for budgetary support from multilateral, bilateral, sources, okay? Some of them are going to road infrastructure. The Awushi to link the Nsawam Road around Pukrasi. Right, these are all some of the facilities that we have taken.
Are they not important?
Well, they are very important. That is not my argument.
Mm-hmm.
My argument is that we need a lot of infrastructure. There are so many things that we haven't done. So we should go ahead and borrow up to how much? Where we can borrow up to is very, very, very critical and important.
Yeah.
You understand my point?
Okay.
And we are not saying that we don't put into important projects. Like I told you,
mm-hmm.
all those that have been contracted have something attached to them. Even the aircraft, right,
mm-hmm.
are supposed to do some work for us. And they are very important for us to do so. But I don't see the moral courage that NDC has to go on this borrowing spree. Is it not NDC government, NDC party, that claim that Kufuor had borrowed, we have pushed national debt to 8 billion, as at, 2008. And therefore, everything in this country has gone haywire. So with the current situation, what will the situation be?
Yeah.
Tell me.
Mr. Ajimamenu, you are posting a question, but I'll come back to post more questions so that we see exactly how we can manage this one. But we have joining us now the Deputy Finance Minister, Fifi Kwete, to also tell us precisely where these loans are going. And once you've also mentioned that fact that some are not going into the uncompleted projects. You are welcome to the show, Fifi Kwete.
Hi, good evening to you.
Yes, we have been told that
to all your many, many listeners and to my good brother, Honorable Ajimamenu.
Yes.
Thank you, Fifi.
Are the loans not sustainable? Are you taking too much at the moment, 2.5 years?
You know, it's important for us to understand that the transformation of any economy, whether it's Ghana or it's Brazil or China, depends largely on the ability to provide the necessary infrastructure that will bring about the transformation of that economy. So, especially when it is that we are talking about loans that are largely for transforming the infrastructure of this country, they are actually efforts that all of us acknowledge. You recall that, for example, in 2007, NDC went for $750 million. Now, I don't think at that time you heard anyone arguing against the 750, especially when it was stated that it was supposed to be for infrastructure of this country. Of course, MPP would make pronouncement to the effect that, yes, we hounded them about the loans that they contracted under the 8 years. But the honest truth is that we have been in power for, let's say PNDC was 11 years and then 8 years for the NDC, so that makes, you know, about 19 years that the group has been in power. So therefore we know about the importance of loans. A lot of the development that we achieved over that period was largely on the back of external financing for the infrastructure, whether it's energy infrastructure, road infrastructure, hospitals, schools. It was largely done through raising of a lot of external funding. So it is not the case that as a government, we had a problem with borrowing. The only reason why we did what we did,
okay,
and my good brother will understand, is because we wanted them to taste a little bit of their own medicine. Because you see, remember when it came in 2001, they created the impression as if it was a criminal thing for a country to borrow. So that's where they were shouting all over the place, OPP, PP, PP, and creating an impression that the 41 trillion that Ghana had at the time was a criminal thing that the NDC government was guilty of. So we just wanted to give them a little bit of their medicine and say, oh, I see, you guys claim it is such a bad thing to borrow. So why are you busy borrowing another 8 years? So that really is the issue. We have been in power, so we borrowed a lot. So we know that there's not a problem about borrowing. But the important thing is to what exactly is the borrowing for?
That is the question we are interested in now.
And largely, for example, you heard about the $3 billion, which is bringing this recent development. This whole $3 billion is largely for the transformation of the nation's infrastructure. The gas infrastructure is a very important project for the nation. What you call the Western Rail, and you know exactly how important the Western region is as far as what you call the mineral deposits of this country is concerned. And that particular rail line has been in total disrepair for so long. So bringing that on board in order to enable, vital minerals to be transported by rail, so that they stop destroying our precious roads and costing much more money for the taxpayer to be repairing this road. This is an important project. And we're talking about a ferry over the Volta Lake. in order to provide vital, link for transportation of many, many, important agricultural produce that's being done, not just in the northern part of Ghana, but also in the northern part of Volta region, and also linking up to...
Yeah. But Fifi, please let me come in here.
For the nation.
Hello, Fifi, let me come in here. We have some of the projects that were left by the previous administration. And from what Mr. Adimamenu is telling us, some of these loans are not going into such projects. And once they are not completed, they are still creating problems. The road leading to a Bree like this is one. That is the Medina road is one being cited that they've not approved anything in relation to that. Can we say that then there are some...
You see, there again, that actually is the difficulty left behind by our friend. Because you see, over the years that NDC was in office, we never started any major infrastructural project without making adequate preparation for it. How do you, for example, start major road infrastructure and you've not even secured external funding to say that, look, we secured this facility that is going to enable us to construct, let's say, a road from, let's say, Accra to Kumasi, okay? Or construct a road from, let's say, Titikwashi all the way through to the eastern region. I mean, you don't depend on government of Ghana raising taxes every day from people to construct such a road. Nobody does that in any part of the world. So what you want to do for such major infrastructure is to talk to especially, people who provide us with long-term, soft loans. Like, for example, either the World Bank or the African Development Bank or the Asia Development Bank or any of those body. Then you see what we want to go into this project, therefore give us funding. Then therefore you know that you secured a proper line of funding. That's exactly what we've done all the period.
Okay.
The construction of the road, for example, from Tema all the way through to Akosombo. So we did that on the back of external funding. And that's the way you do. Now they went and literally started all these major projects without even securing proper external funding for them.
Fifi, just hold it. I'll come. Hello, Fifi.
To do projects that we have promised to people. Now we have to now be thinking about how to look for money to finish those that they did without having made proper arrangement for them. But even so, we still are not completely going to neglect those projects at all.
Fifi, it's good. Just hold it there for us. Let me go back to Mr. Kweku Adjumanmenu. I'm still holding on the line. Naturally, you are expected to keep government on its toes. Have you advised before now that perhaps some of these loans should be contracted to go directly to complete some of the projects so that it won't be like starting new ones and having the older ones abandoned?
Look, I'm glad that Fifi has not denied the summary of my figures that they have contracted 8.9 billion in 2 years, 3 months. I'll add more when I add on the second quarter of 2011. That is the bottom line. Now, I took pains to go through parliamentary reports and looked at specific approvals that we have made. And I told you earlier on, not a single one of them is an agreement to do the continuation or completion of any of the projects that before started. They are all new projects. Right? That I have got all my data. The definitions are good. They cannot be wrong from the hazard. I picked all the figures and did my calculations to that level. All of them are in dollars. If it's SDR, the equivalent. If it's EA, the equivalent. That is what I have done. Okay? Now, the question is that the way Fifi is talking, then Ghana is in trouble. The way Fifi is talking, if that is the way they are going to go, Ghana is in a huge trouble. You see, we need infrastructure, yes. We need to transform our economy, yes. There are several things that we have to do. The cost of it is not only 9 billion, it is not only 20 billion. To transform Ghana and acquire all the infrastructure that we need will cost us several billions, running into hundreds of billions. So his argument, the way he's talking, means that they will go ahead and borrow, because they are putting into infrastructure and it is very, very necessary. Give us a break. That is not the way we should go.
Where do you think we should put the ceiling, Adjumanmenu?
You see, you go up to a certain level.
And then how do we sustain whatever we are doing?
Right, absorptive capacity is something you put into consideration. The cost of the borrowing, not only in terms of what you are giving back, in terms of interest rates and management fees and things like that. Okay? The cost of the borrowing, in terms of how it will affect the macro stability that you have achieved for us. These are things that we are talking about. You just don't go borrowing because you can borrow. That is the case. Everybody will have borrowed so much before you came in.
Mr. Ajumamenu. Yes, Mr. Ajumamenu.
Yes.
Hello, Mr. Ajumamenu. We seem to be losing you on the line, but I hope maybe you can just reposition yourself a little bit and then we can get to talk. Yes, for now, we have the uncompleted projects and they must be completed. And we don't have internally money to be able to do it. What do we do?
I don't think you understood what I was trying to say. Maybe
I was following you. I was following you.
So what I'm saying is that the 8.9 billion that we have approved through Parliament, not a single one. It's an agreement for a loan from either the World Bank, from any bilateral source, from anywhere. That is going to complete your Fanko Road. That is going to complete the projects in Kumasi. That is going to complete the Adenta Medina Road. Not a single one of them. Ask him. He will tell you.
Yes. Is that your menu? And my argument is that once you've already approved of them, there are other ones yet not approved yet and perhaps should be coming because we have uncompleted projects.
Oh,
what do we do?
You see, I told you, there is even 3 billion that is coming.
So what should we do with uncompleted projects if we are not taking more loans?
Oh, you don't understand what I'm saying. The loans that they are taking is not going to complete the project. Listen very well.
Yeah.
Because when you bring a loan for approval, you tell us what you are going to use the loan for. I've told you, all the loans that I have taken, that total up to 8.9 billion. And even the ones we have had from March, April up to now, not a single one of them. It's a loan that is going to complete any project that we did.
Okay.
They are all going into new projects.
Okay.
All the details.
Come
to my point.
Yes.
What they put in the supplementary budget, road infrastructure, $40 million, that they did not specify, and we are assuming that is what they are probably going to put to complete the roads or some other source of funding they may have found.
Perhaps you ask the direct questions the next time for us to know.
It hasn't come to Parliament yet.
Okay. I'll come back to you, Mr. Ajumamenu. But Fifi Kwete, we still have these projects and we are still stressing on it because sometimes we are under an avalanche of tests asking when this one is going to be completed, when that one is also going to be completed. And meanwhile, we have been told none of these loans will be going into that area. What do we do?
You see, that question should actually let the country understand the very reckless manner our friends in the MPP manage the economy of Ghana.
Fifi, I'm afraid you can't use those words on us already.
Hello, Fifi. Let's keep to the issues now.
Hold on, reckless just do politics, we can do it.
Reckless simply means that you did not take your time to plan properly for things to be done. Okay, if you are a father in a home and you know that your children need things and you do not plan properly and then you exit without having made arrangement for your children, you will be called a reckless parent. And that is exactly what it is. You know very well that you had road projects to do. So what you do is to secure proper funding for those roads. We, before we left in 2000, had secured funding for the Kwame Nkrumah interchange. We secured funding for the terminal to Sogakope all the way. The AFDB facility. That's what you do as a government. You don't start projects without having provided for their funding. Then another government comes. Then now you are expecting another government to now come and be looking for money for the project that you started. Didn't you know that you needed to secure money before you started those projects? That's what you call reckless government. A government that clearly...
But Fifi, is that not Ghanaian project? Hello, Fifi.
I'm not finished. Let me tell you.
No, hold on.
We're going to use our tax revenue. We're going to use our oil money.
Excuse me.
Complete those projects.
Gentlemen, let's keep a semblance of order in the discussion so that at least we can hear all that you are saying.
What do you mean by that?
You are all presently not on air, so please let's have a very orderly one because we are looking at how we can advance the cause of this nation even as we talk. But Mr. Ajumamenu, let me come to you. What do you suggest should be done under the present situation?
Go and talk to Mr. Ajumamenu.
Hello, Mr. Ajumamenu.
Hello?
Yes. What should we do with the present situation?
Let me tell you, we are cautioning that the borrowing is getting too bad. And if we are not careful, the middle income status that we have achieved before they leave office in 2012, we will have gone back to IPIC. That is all our caution. We do not say they shouldn't borrow. We do not say they shouldn't transform the economy. We do not say they should not provide infrastructure. But they should be cautious about the spree, the rate at which they are borrowing, they are going. And somebody should actually advise them, caution them to hesitate a little bit. Because that is not the way to manage the national peace.
Okay.
As simple as that.
Okay. Mr. Kwekwajima,
you should go prudently.
Yes.
That is the financial word that I can use.
We want to thank you very much for your caution on prudence this evening on Behind the News. Fifi, as we wrap up, let's keep to exactly what we are doing. We just want to see how
Excuse me. I take exception to your conduct of this interview.
Fifi, let's move on with it.
For you to tell me, let's keep to what we are doing. It presumes that somehow my submissions have not been passed.
Oh, don't take it that way, because the way we are discussing, Fifi, let's go on with the discussion the way,
yes,
because you've been responding and we just
and
want to keep
so.
To it.
And I've been very much in mindful of exactly the questions asked, and I want to answer those questions. So please,
okay,
don't create any.
So we are looking at the way forward now. How do we do it? Yes.
The way forward is simple. As a government, we are very mindful of the fact that there's a need for us to look for funding to develop all the development, to provide all the developmental projects that are needed in this country. So even for those ones that NPP recklessly did not get money for, we clearly are going to make effort to get funding to be able to finish all of them. And two, we don't actually need NPP to teach us how to be able to prudently manage the economy. What we have been able to achieve over the last 2.5 years, NPP in 8 long years has not been able to achieve it. So if anyone needs to be taught how to manage the economy, it's not NPP that clearly will be teaching us that. We know how to do that, and we have the experience to be able to accomplish it much, much better than they can ever do. The final thing I will say is this. When it comes to the issue of debt, there's something that is known as what you call your debt to GDP ratio. And debt to GDP ratio simply means you must always be mindful of how much your totality of the economy is and make sure your debt is according to the size of your economy. And we clearly have that in mind all the time. That's why, even though we are going for loans, we are making sure those loans are for things that can totally transform the GDP of Ghana. Unlike them, who rather went for loans that some of them they used to buy even locomotive when we didn't have real trucks for them to ride on. They used some of it to pay salaries. We are not doing any of that. We are making sure every single money we contract is used for the transformation of the nation's economy. That is how the GDP of Ghana will expand, and that will ensure that our children and our grandchildren's prosperity can be guaranteed.
TV Kwiti, we want to thank you very much and have a nice weekend. Thanks so much for joining us. Fifi Kwete is the Deputy Finance Minister on the issues of how sustainable our loans are. Behind the News on Radio Ghana. Yes, sometimes it gets a little hot. We are taking a quick break. We'll be back. It's Behind the News on Radio Ghana, and we'll move on to our next story. The Electoral Commission has signaled its intention to compile a new voters register using biometric technology in October. But the Dankwa Institute, a media research and policy analysis center, is raising red flags about the timetable, saying the contract negotiation, award and management of procurement of logistics should have been completed before the end of last month. We have the executive director of the Dankwa Institute, Gabi Asare-Ochiridaku, on the line to expand on exactly what they are saying. Good evening and welcome. Hello, Gabi. I guess we are having a few... Hello, Gabi. Gabi, we can get you. Yes, you are online. We are having a few challenges. We'll try to reestablish contact quickly and then get back to Gabi on that line in relation to the Dankwa Institute raising a concern about how we are managing to get the biometric registration going. Behind the News, we've managed to re-establish contact. That is what has been signaled. Gabi Ochiridaku, you are welcome. Still a little challenge. We can hear the line is very live, but we still cannot get him. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back to that story. And before we are able to re-establish contact, we'll move over to Mercy for a quick story.
The UK Under Secretary of State for International Development, Stephen O'Brien, has commended Ghana for making giant strides in growing the economy. He said Ghana came up strongly for support at a recent meeting to review UK's bilateral and multilateral support to developing countries. To this end, the UK government resolved to assist Ghana through a four-year support plan in areas of education and health. Mr. O'Brien made the commendation when he called on Vice President John Mahama at the Kasulusu. Pascaline Adadevo reports.
The commendation comes on the heels of Vice President John Mahama's unannounced visit to Parliament, where he told the House that Ghana's economy is growing positively and doing well. Mr. Stephen O'Brien said the UK government is ready to commit resources to development in Ghana, considering her promising economy. He lauded the move to push the Petroleum Management Bill, which will promote transparency and local content in the country's nascent oil sector.
Behind the news on Radio Ghana, I have managed to re-establish contact with Gavio Chiridako on the line. You are welcome.
Hey, my brother. Thanks.
Yes, we had a few challenges with your line. You are expressing concern about the EC's plan to have a biometric register. Are you saying that it is not possible within the time left between now and elections for them to do so?
Well, no, we are not saying it's not possible, but we are saying that the EC itself last year came up with a timetable for the biometric registration process.
Hello, if you can please raise your voice, your line.
I'm saying that last year, the EC itself came out with a timetable for the biometric registration process. Now, per that timetable, by the end of last month, they ought to have awarded the contract and began the publicity work, and this month they also have had the delivery of the machine, the material, and also recruit staff and train them for the biometric registration exercise. As we speak, it was only last week that they started opening the tender documents for the 7 shortlisted companies. So, and this process could take anything up to a month, 2 weeks to a month, because they have to further shortlist it to about 3 and then to 1. Which means we've lost anything up to 2 months, even it could be as much as 3 months, but at least 1 month is lost, and we could lose up to at least 2 months. And by the Electoral Commission's calendar, they expect the whole exercise to be over by October 2012, so that the final voters list register could be out in November, exhibited, and then the final preparation for the election done. So once you have anything up to about 2 months delay, then you are cutting it too close. You risk actually not even completing before the election day. So our question is, considering that there's this apparent delay in the timetable already set by the Electoral Commission, I think it's important the Electoral Commission comes out to reassure Ghanaians that, look, although we have 1-2 months or so delay, we can still work to the timetable and deliver for you a credible biometric voter register.
So,
secondly, we think the Electoral Commission should also come out to tell us that we will indeed have a system to identify and verify voters at the polling station level using their biometric voter ID. So these are the two main issues that we think the Electoral Commission must be transparent, come out and tell us how far they are going with these two things, in terms of their timetable, and secondly, the kind of biometric system that we're going to have. Because
okay,
if you have a biometric voter register without a biometric verification system at the polling station, then you might as well not do it, because you would only have stopped, if you like, a bloated voter register, but not multiple voting or even impersonation. So okay. These are the concerns that...
Gabby, just hold on. You are raising questions with the Electoral Commission's ability to do it within this time, even though you think we can still make some time. But Sylvia Anoh is the Principal Public Relations Officer for the Electoral Commission, and she's on the line with us. Sylvia, you are welcome to the show.
Thank you very much.
What do you make of Dankwa Institute's position?
Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity to speak on behalf of the Electoral Commission. Now, first and foremost, the Electoral Commission indicated that it was going to work on the Bangladesh Register in the last quarter of the year. Now, if that could mean anything. Now, let's not forget that the Electoral Commission is an organization that is credible. So, therefore, if the Electoral Commission says it's going to do something, you know, by the last quarter of the year, it means that a lot has already happened. Now, looking at the biometric registration system, technically, the Electoral Commission is not behind time. So there is no need for any alarm. There is no cause for any alarm. Because the details that are supposed to be used, the resources and all that are being worked upon, you know, assiduously. There is no problem whatsoever with regard to the time. Now, for instance, if you say that you're working on the program, or you are carting goods somewhere and you need like a vehicle, like a pickup. You want to take the things from point A to point B and you move, you know the quantity is huge. Therefore, you may want to change the pickup and use a larger vehicle with a bigger capacity. So there's no cause for alarm.
So you are saying that I know what I'm talking about. You mentioned that once you are talking about the last quarter of the year, it means you've had some processes in place already. Can you tell us the state of preparedness, what you've done so far, so that perhaps they not being aware will get to know that this is what has happened?
Yeah, for now, let me say that the Electoral Commission is getting prepared, you know, preparing very well for this biometric registration. Now, at a later date, which wouldn't be far from today, would grant a comprehensive interview, which would indicate the intricacies involved with the preparation of the Electoral Commission towards the biometric registration. Definitely, there is no cause for alarm. We are on track, and we will deliver like we always do.
Sylvia, please hold on a quick one as we go back to Gabby. Gabby, we have been told that they have some things already in place and it's not just waiting for something to happen. Have you found out?
Well, I know what I know. I mean, nobody's saying that they haven't been working. Of course they've been working. If they haven't been working, they wouldn't have got into a short list of seven. But all we're saying is that the Electoral Commission itself, although it did not make it public, certain key stakeholders were made to know what the timetable was for the implementation of the biometric system. And by that timetable, by the ending of June, which is just gone, the contractor ought to have been selected and the system of actually preparing, recruiting, training staff, and the rest of it ought to have happened. Those things ought to have happened between July and September. We are in July. We are getting to the end of July. And we still don't know whether the contractor has been selected. This was supposed to have happened last month. So we have reason to question whether indeed the Electoral Commission can expedite things to be on time. Because by its own timetable. I didn't make that timetable. The Electoral Commission made that timetable. And it's at least 1 month, you know, behind time. So I think it calls it's a legitimate question to ask.
Okay.
And I don't think by just saying that you are preparing itself, it's reassuring. It is assuring to a point. But if you admit that because of this reason, all that we did, that's why we weren't able to select the contractor.
Okay.
But all the things that needed to have been done have been done, then I think it's okay.
Okay. Gavius Ochredak, we want to thank you very much for your time this evening.
A pleasure.
Yes. But Sylvia, that is the main concern. So is he going to have the assurance that it is not that you are dormant and there is nothing happening, but you are still keeping to timelines?
Yeah, thank you very much. I think that the Electoral Commission has never operated in schools. Our doors are open. So that if anybody or an organization does not understand certain basic facts, the doors are open for explanations and that kind of thing. I stated earlier that in due course, the Electoral Commission will come out with the details on the Migratory Registrar. Then definitely, before the 2012 election, the EC has indicated that it was going to, it is indicated that it's going to come out with a biometric register. So definitely, plans are far advanced, as you all say. And there's not just cosmetic.
Yes.
But the reality is there, and we will see for ourselves.
When should we come back to ask the next question? As to what is happening on the ground.
As to what is happening, kindly be in close contact with us.
But you won't put any timeline on it?
That will be around next week.
And what exactly would that be?
Oh, that is what I'm saying, that next week. So next week would have another detail on the issue.
Sylvia, I want to thank you very much for your time too. As the Principal Public Relations Officer of the Electoral Commission. Behind the news on Radio Ghana. A quick break. Behind the news on Radio Ghana, linking up with all our regional FM stations. If you are in Takoradi, you are getting us on Twin City. And in Cape Coast, you are on Radio Central. Obonu 96.5 FM at Tema. We have some of your tests. Chief Kwete has very much disappointed me today. He can't be allowed to attack. Don't worry, Vivi. Don't worry. It's an occupational hazard. Thank you anyway for that test. Ghanaians would not have kicked MPP out of power if they were managing the economy well and borrowing wisely. Safchi from Yendi sent in that one, and we prepare to get on to the next story soon. And it's a relation to connecting electricity to a new facility. What do you think? Have you been through any problems trying to do so in recent times? We'll be getting to that story in a jiffy. But this one from Nat Accra says, America is in huge debt. What we should be demanding is the value for money and prudent use of the money that is intended for projects. Nat in Accra sent in that one. A quick break. We'll be back.
My name is Anas Arimiyao Anas. I'm an investigative journalist. I get very, very busy with my investigations, but I always find time to listen to Behind the News on GBC Radio. Listen to Behind the News from 8 p.m. to 9 p.m. every weekday.
We are moving on, and before we get to the story on the ECG, this one. A newspaper attracts normally by its banner headlines and front page pictures. For mainstream practitioners, what comes to the front page is very important. Yet in recent times, some observers have expressed concern about what appears on the front pages of some leading newspapers. On many occasions, some of these pictures are gory. Can anything be done about the trend? What should inform what appears here, even as things are left for editorial discretion? Nana Esofi Kundia is a lecturer in journalism and also a veteran journalist. He's joined us on the line as we explore that issue. Thank you so much for your time this evening, Nana.
Thank you. Thank you, Kingsley.
You are an active campaigner for free expression and proper journalism. What has been your major concern about some of the front pages in recent times?
Oh, lastly, I hope I'm not the only person who is worried about the headlines, the pictures, and the stories themselves that are put on the front pages, just as you said in your intro. It's a case that is worrying, but the questions are whether journalists themselves are aware. What are they doing, and where indeed is this leading? You want to really find out from them, but if you ask me what's the cause, probably I can conjecture a few. Firstly, it's just the general malaise in quality. The benchmark of quality and standards have drooped and are deteriorating. Secondly, there seems to be no one able to raise attention appropriately from on high. You know, that seems to be stymied by, that ability seems to be stymied by the fact of the Constitution, which is read literally and interpreted as such, that anything that you did might amount to seeking to censor, because the Constitution says no or interdicts that. But that is an abdication, of real abdication, you know, in third step, of responsibility to call for simple correction when such is the error. It is this which has really declined the standards and quality into this piece of couldn't be bothered about the gory pictures that you see, about the poor spelling, about the bad headlines, and indeed the selection of stories that should really merit front page. I go back to history in the NLC days when General Ankra complained, castigated the press and said that they were not my war situations. I think he spoke the truth in a certain sense, but at the same time, what the media ought to have pointed to the late general was simply that news didn't mean that if you were in Ghana, you must necessarily front page everything that the government does and everything that is Ghanaian.
Yeah.
But outside of that, I think there's a simple rule. What is the story? Who does it concern? What is the purpose in putting it on the front page? The front page is supposed to be prominent. It's prominent for the newspaper. It's prominent for the reader. But we seem to have lost all that. Anything goes, it becomes the order of the day. And, well, it goes on.
Yeah. Nana, let me come to this issue. Once talking to the Secretary General of the International Federation of Journalists, he mentioned something that he saw when he was in town in relation to sensibilities when having pictures on front pages, sometimes gory, so bloody, and accident victims with limbs scattered. And he was asking that question, in whose interest? Can you put it there to just shock drivers to do the right thing, or perhaps it shouldn't be there at all because of relatives of such victims?
It's a matter of mind, the matter of discretion. Again, discretion is the culprit, it seems to me, here. That once it's the editorial discretion must not be interfered with, then anybody can do what they please. No, it's a matter of the mind. And when you did that, it doesn't show you as a disciplined mind. It does not show you that you care as a human being. It does not show you fulfilling your mission, your core mission as mediating between public and the powers that be, as well as educating, informing, entertaining, and galvanizing the public, the people, for constructive purposes. When you show this kind of gory pictures consistently without care, what are you doing? Indeed, in their own ethics, they are banned from doing this because they say don't seek to make profit out of the other person's grief. It's cultural. And I believe that section of the journalist ethics captures that from that base. Yet you have these youngsters doing as they please, and you have no one. Not the VJA, not the media commission. You really wonder what's going on. And it can't go on for good. I hope someone for once in that kind of authority between media commission and the Parents Association are listening and are bold men and women enough to take this situation seriously. You know, something is happening in Britain that journalism in this country has not taken note of. The News of the World thing, right? It's serious. We have it replicated, duplicated, quadruplicated in this country. Someday, somehow, sooner than later, all of these things are going to cascade into a crisis in this country for journalism. And I do not think that journalism is going to survive it. Unlike the British, who are going to be able to set up parliament and all to survive it. Again, there's a blame for parliament, there's a blame for politicians in particular in this country. But, and, you know, it's sad.
Nana, you've raised the questions of the appropriate authorities, and we are still following up with them. When we manage to get them, we'll see what comes out of it. But for now, I want to thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.
Nana Sophie Kondria is a veteran journalist and also a lecturer in journalism on the issue of the front pages we have. We are moving on to our next story that relates to electricity and connection. But before then, some quick tests. Is it a crime to caution the government about the magnitude at which it is borrowing? Is the government investing the money in income-generating sectors? Ilyasu is posing that question from Tamale. And the minority should give us a break. We need the loan to develop our country. If I were MPP, I would be careful in politicizing the issue of debt. Joshua from Aflao sends in that one. Well, by the regulations of the Electricity Company of Ghana, connecting electricity from the national grid should not be a difficult endeavor. A building permit or evidence of payments for one, a site plan, a national identity card, and a form purchased from the ECG is what one needs. On the surface, this is not something that one should complain about, but for some seeking connection, the process is far from being that simple. Information available to Behind the News indicates that in the anxiety of potential customers to be hooked onto their grid, they are made to part with some amount of money. Some even pay for their meters. A board member of the Energy Commission is the latest official to raise his voice against the practice. Ideally, how long should the process last and what is expected of service providers? Bernard Nyatepe is the ECG Regional Director for Accra East, and he's going to help us to see exactly what one needs to go through when connecting, so that where there is the red flag, the person can raise it. Thank you so much, sir, for your time this evening. Hello, Mr. Nyatepe.
Hello.
Yes. You are welcome to the show this evening.
Thank you very much.
I've mentioned a few of the things that you need, but from your perspective, can you tell us what it takes to have a new service connection?
Good. By our regulations and our rules, if a potential customer needs a new service connection, we expect that he or she will call at our office and buy or purchase a form. Fill out this form. The form costs 2 cedis. You'll have this form filled out appropriately by the electrical contractor or electrician qualified who has wired the house for him or her, then submit this form to us. Upon submission, an officer will accompany the potential customer to inspect the premises. Then an estimate will be drawn out for how much money he or she will need to pay for the service to be connected. Now, we expect that the work will be done up to standard, so that when we connect and install the meter, there will be no danger to anybody.
Yeah. So, how long should this process last?
Well, by our desire, we are saying that if the new service connection does not involve a pole, we should do this within 5 working days after payment. 5 working days after payment we should be able to connect a direct service. But if it involves a pole or two, up to two poles, we should be able to do this within 15 working days after payment.
Yeah. When you say it involves a pole, can you explain it further?
Yes. If your house is close to a pole, such that we do not need to erect another pole before we can connect the service to your premises, that is what we mean by it doesn't involve a pole, a new pole to be erected. But where it involves having to erect one pole or two poles to extend the network before we can connect the service to your house, that is what we are saying, that after payment, it should take us 15 working days within which we should connect the new service.
Yeah, you've mentioned by our desire. So sometimes it delays. It is not according to your desire. What causes such delays?
Well, sometimes the customer comes to us. During the testing period, we realize that something is not right. Therefore, the correction will have to be made in the wiring before we go back to connect the service. Other times too, we may have a temporary situation where some item may not be immediately available for the work to be done. That could create a little delay. But we are saying that we want to do this work, if it's a direct service, within 5 working days after payment and 15 working days if it involves up to 2 poles.
Yeah. So in an area where there are no poles at all and the person is also still desirous of getting connected, what happens?
Yes, you know, we're in a business to serve the public. At the same time, we should do it in such a way that we don't run at a loss. Therefore, where there are no poles in the area, we will have to inspect and determine what is needed to extend the service to that area. We probably will have to carry out a major development job, which may involve installation of transformers and or one, an extension of the grid to that area before we can connect potential customers.
And that's when, what time should you have or should you give to such a person or people in the area?
If it is not very extensive, we say that with a transformer involved, everything being equal, 3 months, we should be able to do that, everything being equal.
Yeah, okay. Okay, but there are occasions, just as the Energy Commission member is cautioning, where you talk about payment, but people give the payment all right and still things are not well done. What happens?
Well, I recall one particular incident that I can share with you and your listeners. A gentleman paid for service connection in one of our districts. And he was told that he should expect the work to be done within a certain period, as I've just narrated. Somehow, we had a temporary shortage of LV poles. Therefore, we couldn't deliver the service within the time that we had told him. So he called me, and I assured him that we had then just received the poles, and within 3 days, the work would be done. Then I had a letter from the regulator from the same customer complaining about the delay in the service connection. Sometimes we have these delays, as I said, if one material or the other is temporarily not available. But let me assure all the listeners that we have enough stock of all that we need to connect service to make service connections. It may just be that because temporarily at the location we do not have a particular material, there will be a slight delay. But what I will appeal to all of us is that if you pay to us and these delays are there, don't hesitate to call a higher officer.
Yeah.
So we can deal with
it. Can you just tell us that process of getting a higher officer to look into a situation where perhaps a person is being frustrated?
Yeah, just as I've told you, this gentleman called me. He called the receptionist, and then the line was connected to my office. And he narrated his difficulty to me, which I was able to resolve. So we, our telephone numbers are all over the place. Therefore, if you have this delay affecting your service connection process, don't hesitate to call.
Okay. Sir, do you have a fixed amount that people pay? Perhaps if it's one pole, if it's two poles, or if there are no poles involved, so that people are advised as to how much they should part with?
We are just about coming up with these fixed charges that will be displayed for everybody to know that if it's a direct service without a pole, this is how much it will cost. If it's one pole or two poles, this is how much it will cost. The process, the figures are almost about finalized, and very soon we will display this for the public and everybody to know.
Should meters be sold?
We actually do not sell meters. They remain the property of the Electricity Company of Ghana. But we expect or we require that every customer pays a meter installation fee.
Okay. Sir Bernard Nyatefe, I want to thank you very much for clearing these issues for us on Behind the News.
Thank you very much. It's my pleasure. My pleasure. Bye-bye.
Mr. Nyatefe is the ECG Regional Director for Accra East on the issue of service connection. And before we go, some of your tests. If MPP do not want this country to develop, we need it. So the NDC should go ahead and contract more loans to develop Ghana for us. Daniel Opoku, Sicily Ye, Teleku Bukazu Elembele. And why is it that the minority never appreciates the work of the majority? Contracting the loans does not matter, but how it is used. Abubila John, Garo Tempani, sent in that one. But on that last story, let's indicate that we contacted PURC to speak on the issue, but we were not able to get the person to speak. We hope some other time we'll get them to speak. But this is where we wrap it all up for today. On behalf of our sound man who sat at the controls, Akwesi Akwa, Christopher Siedu, Edmund Tete, Bright Agama, and the rest of the big team that have supported the program throughout the week, we say, have a nice week. My name is Kingsley Ovintre.